It does. Mm-hmm. I literally was like, I think that's, yes, it does. Orthotic Skechers, I'm sure.
So clueless. Orthotics. I'm probably. I'm so clueless because I love these things. I have no idea.
Yeah, but you love them because they're comfortable, right?
They are comfortable. They're very comfortable.
So let me ask you, though. When you saw them, before you ever put them on, were you like, those are it?
Yeah, I don't know. They looked fine.
Or was
it
like you put them on and you're like, these are it?
I liked them when I saw them. When I put them on, I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, I mean, it was just like-
That is it right there. That is your banter. Oh, yeah. When I put them on, I said, oh, yeah.
Our goal on this podcast is to know Jesus better and by the power of his spirit do better so together we can be a little better. Well, welcome to A Little Better. So glad to have you here for week six. Week six of Storytellers. Storytellers, our summer 10-week series, so we're just past the halfway point. Drew, so great to have you back in the saddle again. I hope it felt good for you because you did a great job. Just crushed it. Loved your message on the prodigal son, one of the more well-known tales, but there was some new stuff for me. We're going to talk about that. But before we get there, how about giving us your sermon in 60?
Yeah, we looked at another parable, the prodigal son. Like you said, pretty common, well-known one. And we looked at, ultimately what Jesus is doing is he's addressing a problem with the religious leaders, them muttering about Jesus welcoming sinners and tax collectors. And so he tells his story, and he talks about a prodigal son, right? But we often miss maybe which prodigal, who is the really prodigal? You got the son that runs away and comes home. And we see in the story, like, God's relationship with us. He doesn't stop us from doing stupid things, that his church is for broken people. And so, but then we get to the end of the story, comes home, there's restoration, and the older son is not happy. He's not excited about his brother being home. In fact, he feels slightly jealous towards how his father is treating him. And it's like Jesus throws this curveball of like, man, this is the real prodigal. And so ultimately in this story, Jesus does two things. He gives us a warning that we could be a prodigal and not even know it. And he offers us an invitation. No matter what our prodigal looks like, come home. I'm ready and willing to engage with you.
Absolutely. And let me introduce the third member of our crew this morning. Luan is our pastoral resident, right?
Yes, sir.
Resident. That means he's going to be here a little while. So that's 1 year. In fact, how long were you here the first time? This is your second time here at Northridge.
So last year I was here as an intern. So it was like, 10 weeks, however long that is. But yeah, I just got back. I've been here for 2 months now, I think.
And how many months to go?
Beats me. It's got to be maybe a year. I don't know.
Yeah, we're so glad to have you. So excited that you came back. What made you excited about coming back?
Yeah. So like I said, I was here last year and it was great. It was a great time just getting to serve. And Brighton didn't exist back then. So we're working towards it. It was awesome. Oh, and all the church planting stuff, which is something I'm really excited about. But even as I was here, I just got to see life change happen. And I'm from New Jersey. I grew up there for half of my life. Almost I was there. And it's hard. Doing ministry in the Northeast is really challenging. And being a part of a church that seeks life change, that cares about the gospel and reaching the lost, it was just super exciting to be a part of it. And I wanted to get to work here. It's great.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, excited about a lot of prodigal son stories at Northridge. Yeah. We get to see in real life, our own included. But your story didn't start in New Jersey.
No. Yeah. I was actually born in Brazil. Mm-hmm. So for those that don't know, I was born there. Mm-hmm. I lived in Brazil until I was like 13, and then I moved here. So I moved to Jersey, and I've been living there ever since. And then I went to Liberty. I went to school there. I just graduated in May, which is super cool. And then I moved up here. So
So just click the alternate audio on your player, and Luan does the voiceover in Portuguese for this. Yeah. just kidding. That would be pretty cool. So anyway, so glad to have you here. It's got to be exciting to like come and then see hopes and dreams like for Brighton, but get
for
to come back and see the other end of it fruition. Yeah. And just things are happening. So cool to have you here. I'm going to stick with Luan for a second here.
Hey, do your thing.
And say, so normally I ask Drew what he left on the table, but Luan, maybe I'll ask you anything unanswered for you, or you wish God explained more, or where else would you go with this story? What did he get you thinking about?
Hmm. Yeah, like we mentioned a few minutes ago, I think this parable is really familiar. And a lot of times I feel like when we read something that we're so used to, mm-hmm. just look over certain things. And one of the things that really struck me in a sense was the fact that the father went towards both. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of times I think, and you know, with the people that I know and a lot of people that I'm praying for, I just wish that God would actually go after them. Mm-hmm. I really want him, like, okay, so in the story we can see he went after the son who just spent all the money, and he also went after the one who was just in a house and was far from him. And I'm wondering, I'm like, God, I have all these people that I've been praying for. Mm-hmm. I have these people that I really care about, and it breaks my heart to see them far from him. And I just wonder, I'm like, God, like, are you going to go after them as well, like the same way that you went after me? So I think that for me is a tension.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It's hard, but.
Yeah. I think it's a brilliant, you know, insight is, it's a wonderful gospel reaction. I mean, when God is so merciful to us, then we want it mm-hmm. so bad for others. I love yeah. that. That's clearly a heart that's been changed.
I think that's a tension just in humanity. We want free will from God only when it's good for us. Mm-hmm. But we don't want it when it's bad for us, right? Yeah. We want God to pursue us when we go the wrong way, but we don't want God to pursue us when our way feels mm-hmm. right and feels mm-hmm. good. And I see that in humanity a lot. When things don't go their way, it's like, oh, God, fix it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, hey, why would you let me do this if it was? Mm-hmm. And you know, this battle of free will. We don't want to be robots, but we want free will. Mm-hmm. But when the free will leads us down a path that we don't want to go, we're like, why would you do that? Why would you let me do that, God?
Right.
So,
yeah, you had that as a big point in your sermon, that God lets us, what was the phrase exactly, but God lets us do stupid things.
Yeah, he doesn't stop us from doing stupid things.
Doesn't stop us from doing stupid things. And that I've said this often, I wish I could learn apart from suffering, but clearly that's the effective way for me to get taught.
Consequences are a huge teacher, man. Yeah. And, you know, imagine if, you know, what would this story look like if the dad didn't let his son go? Mm-hmm. You know, would he just be miserable?
Parents would. I mean, we feel that impulse as parents, right? We want to prevent those wrong choices. And when the consequences come, we want to soften the consequences, prevent the consequences. But to let that play out was actually the most loving choice, as hard as it was.
Yeah. And that might not be always the case. I don't want anybody to think like, oh, well, if my kid's going to walk to consequences, let's just let him go, right? Mm-hmm. There's wisdom in like protecting them and not. But like in this story, this father easily could see that this wasn't going to change unless he experienced his way.
Yeah. A couple of things I want to explore. So one is we were talking it just got mentioned, talking about our own kids and experience of parenting. This is not a parable about parenting. It's a parable about our relationship with God. Yeah. But one of your huge points, which made me wince, was you could be the prodigal and not even know it. So I'm kind of curious about, let me do this in a couple of ways. One is, as much as we're willing to share around here, have we ever been the prodigal? How can we unblind ourselves or unblind others? How can that happen when we're the prodigals and not know it? So I don't know who wants to go first on if they've been the prodigal.
Of course. I guess and we were talking about this earlier, there are seasons of our lives that we can be both mm-hmm. in different situations and different circumstances. But for me, whenever I reflect on where I was a few years ago, I was definitely the older brother in the story. Mm-hmm. I went to church, I did all the right things, and I was so prideful because mm-hmm. I did those things well. And nobody would have guessed it. Right. I followed all the rules. That was my thing growing up. I was like, my brother is a crazy one, I'll just follow all the rules. Like, whatever it is that you tell me to do, I'll do it. Easy money. I can just follow and obey, and that's great. And I think that very quickly translated into my relationship with God. For the longest, I just felt and thought that as long as I did all the right things, everything was okay. Mm-hmm. When deep down in my heart, I knew for a fact that it wasn't. Mm-hmm. And I was going to church, I was serving, I was a part of the worship team, I was a part of the greeting team, I was teaching on a Wednesday night, I was doing all the things that would look at somebody and be like, yeah, that's a good Christian, he has a great walk with God. Mm-hmm. But deep down in my heart, I just wasn't there. Mm-hmm. I felt disconnected. And even in the story, right, when the older brother turns to the father and he's like, but what about me, right? Like, he's been lost and he's been doing all these crazy things, but you never gave me anything. Mm-hmm. And the father goes and turns to him and is like, yeah, you've been with me all this time. And I feel like for me, that was the case too. A lot of times I felt, you know, I saw my friends come into Christ. I saw people come into church and I was like, all right, that's great. We're celebrating that. But like, what about me? I'm doing all the right things. Mm-hmm. Are we not going to celebrate the fact that I'm here serving God so faithfully? Mm-hmm. Are we not going to celebrate the fact that I'm here and doing all the right things and nobody's saying anything about it? And that for me was a really huge tension because I felt like even though I was serving God, quote unquote, I didn't know God.
Yeah,
I didn't know what it was to be a son. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that was the hardest struggle for me. Like, I think I was the older brother.
Wow.
That was a struggle that I had. Yeah.
I think that Jesus reveals one of the indicators that you are a prodigal by addressing the problem, right? What was the problem with this story? It was the religious leaders couldn't celebrate that people far from God were coming to Jesus. Mm-hmm. It bothered them because it was about them.
Yes.
It was about them losing power. It was about them losing their position. It was about people who didn't look like them receiving what they deserved.
Right.
And what's the older brother, right? He can't celebrate his brother coming home.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't about what God did in his life. It was about what God didn't do in his life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's such a huge indicator that I've stepped across the line and my heart has become distant from God when I want something from God that I don't want someone else to receive.
Yeah.
And I can't celebrate what God's doing in someone else's life because he's not doing it in my life.
Right.
I think that's a beautiful picture of like, man, I don't want to ever get to the point where I'm so self-consumed that I can't rejoice when someone far from God meets Jesus, right? That was like in the we'll hear some of these first two stories, the lost coin and the lost sheep, right? What do they say? There's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than 1,000 righteous, right? And the Pharisees, they couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
They were muttering. They were mad. And how often do we get that way? Where Jesus becomes about doing stuff in our lives, but who cares about anybody else's life?
Right. Oh, that's so good. Yeah, I think... how do our hearts get there? I mean, Luan, you were mentioning, there's that obsession with, I want to get credit. Mm-hmm. I'm not getting credit.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I think that's probably a good diagnostic question. If we're after credit, we don't get it.
Yeah.
We don't deserve any credit.
That's right,
One, it's all grace. I mean, what do you have that you haven't been given? But I think and the prodigal, you know, for my experience, there's certainly... I've bounced back and forth, right? Mm-hmm. I would say I could identify with Luan's experience growing up in this church, you know, as like president of the youth group. I was all in, you know.
President of the youth group?
Oh,
that was a thing?
That was a thing. Wow. Yeah.
Let's go.
You bring that back.
El Presidente.
Well, it was a very Pharisaical title. Let me tell you that. we taught Phariseeism pretty well here. But it was just like we'd have youth services. I might preach at the youth service and stuff like that. I don't want that audio excavated. I'm sure it's terrible. But I thought it was killer, right? I mean, I was proud of, you know, my identity and my accomplishments and my path.
Yeah.
College is where the wheels came off, you know, for me and just choices that, you know, foolish choices and far from God and a little bit of the wild living, you know, that the prodigal is there. So, and for me, that was the revelation, right? Because I thought, you know, my heart was so solid and so good. I thought there's no way I was immune, you know, to those temptations.
Yeah.
You know, my heart was good. My heart was dark, you know, so those were the lessons, but it's still so easy for me to slip into the wanting a little credit, you know, wanting a little pat on the back and also getting very, you know, are they repentant enough, right? Do they really get it? Have they learned their lessons, you know, so.
But it's easy, like the older son, like I relate so much to him because I don't have in my story like this huge walk away from Jesus in the sense of outward expression, but our hearts easily just live that out. And I grew up in a Baptist church where you just did the right things, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is it becomes legalism.
It does.
It becomes this, I do this because I have to, not I want to be with Jesus. And that was the difference between the crowd, right? The Pharisees were there because they wanted credit, right? Mm-hmm. The tax collectors and the sinners, they wanted Jesus, right? And there, man, that is a huge difference. I just followed the rules growing up. Like, oh, I'm supposed to do this.
Yeah.
I read my Bible. Like, and I know if I do these things,
right.
I make my father happy, right?
Mm. Uh-huh.
Well, no, not always.
Yeah.
I can do all the right things and still miss the father.
Yeah.
Yeah. And did you feel... I mean, I'm saying it because it was true of me. Like, oh, if I've got a streak going, you know, I'm a little more loved, right?
Yes.
I'm a little more approved.
You're earning, yeah.
But then there's that shame, you know, if I miss or whatever in the hiding. So, definitely hanging on to the
wrong
standard.
I think that's the connection from your week to this week is that older brother, you have this mentality, I'm better. Than you, right? Because I do all the right things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you easily get into this mentality of, man, I do all the right things. I look the part, therefore, I'm not like them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's so true. And I think like for just reflecting on this and all these parables of Jesus and the way that he's teaching them, and he's talking about the heart. Like that's what he's going after. Mm-hmm. And I think even the Pharisees and the religious leaders are thinking like, man, I'm better than all those people. Like they're comparing their righteousness to the sins of all those other people. But I think that's not the point, right? I think what Jesus encourages us, and I think that's what we should do, is like, man, the moment that you start comparing your righteousness to Jesus, there's nothing you can say.
Good luck, right?
You know? Absolutely. And I think for them, it's like very easy to just look around and like, yeah, that guy's a drunkard, that one right there, yeah, she's a prostitute. Yeah, very easy to be like, oh, look at all the things that I do. But I think when Jesus is asking us to like reflect on him, right, be with him and actually realize, man, I'm a sinner too.
Yeah.
Because it's impossible. It's impossible for you to actually sit with Jesus and be so full of yourself and so self-righteous.
Right.
And the older brother, right, in the story, that's what he's doing.
Yep.
He's just reflecting on the younger brother's sin, and he's just thinking that he's got it all figured out. And that's not the goal. That's not what Jesus invites us to do. And that's what we fall into, and it's a trap.
I mean, if anyone asks also... I'm kind of curious about the unblinding, right? So I'm kind of curious, Luan, on your side, because you mentioned that there was a different attitude in your heart than today. What made the change for you?
Sure.
Did you have a rock bottom experience or did it happen some other way?
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think there were seasons of my life that I was the older brother and some other seasons that I was the younger brother. As a result of that first season, I was like, you know, I'm doing all these things and it's not fulfilling. I'm just going to do whatever I want. And maybe that's going to be fulfilling and it's still not. But I think for me, eventually I kind of came around to just realizing that both issues were just a result of the fact that I didn't know God.
Yeah.
I did not know Jesus for who he actually is. And I think when I actually got to the point that I noticed that and I was like, okay, I need to figure out who he is. I need to get to know his heart more than just the things that I do, more than just what people say, more than just going to church and doing all these things. I just felt the need to get to know Jesus for who he is.
Yeah.
And I think after, you know, like after I got to read his word and reflect on the truth of his word and who he said he is, I actually got to recognize that I just had a flawed perspective, a flawed perspective of who he is. And that's how I was framing my life.
Yeah.
You know, I had all these misconceptions about God and those things are dictating my life. And it took work. It took me actually being real with myself to recognize like, I'm not doing the right things. And reflecting on that. And then I just brought it to people because I feel like the longer that we try to do things on our own is the harder it gets. And I actually got to be really vulnerable and talk to people that I really care about, that I know that care about me. And just be like, yo, I don't know Jesus as much as I thought I did. I don't actually understand what I'm doing. And just being vulnerable and allowing people to speak into myself and actually show me what the love of God looks like and what the love of Jesus looks like. And that's kind of how the perspective changed. After sitting with him and being with him and being with people that know him better than I do or did at the time, I just started to see things differently. I started to recognize like, man, there's nothing I can do to earn his love. There's nothing I can do to get better. There's nothing I can do to become the person he's created me to be, but just be with him. That's how things started to change for me personally.
When are we getting Luan up on the stage to preach? that was powerful, bro. Yeah. I mean, that's wise advice from a young man. Appreciate that. I want to talk, let me just share a tiny bit about my journey, just in terms of, because there's people for whom this story might be new or there's details are new. I mean, I think all of us, we've been in this passage we've known this story for a long, long time.
Sure. Heard it.
For me, as a parent, I was looking for lessons, you know, in parenting. Mm-hmm. And I would look at the father and I would say things like, well, you know, he must have been out there every day, you know, mm-hmm. because when the sun came over the horizon, he saw it right away. He ran out to meet mm-hmm. him. And I kind of thought, well, I should be always waiting, you know, for those far from God and praying, you know, for those. But what happened this weekend when you preached this message was for the first time, I didn't look at the father for lessons on parenting. I looked at the older brother mm-hmm. and I just said, have I been, as a parent, have I been an older brother? Have I just, you know, been judgy, mm-hmm. you know, critical? Is it like if, you know, if they came home and say, well, I hope you learned something. Are you ready to do it my way now? I mean, yeah. I just feel that mm-hmm. in my heart, those older brother feelings towards, you know, is there, so anyway, that's just a bit of my journey. I know it's not a lesson on parenting, mm-hmm. but every time we look at the story, I just see new
But I
things.
Do think it is God revealing how he treats us, mm-hmm. and out of how he treats us, it's how we should parent, mm-hmm. how we should mm-hmm. treat others.
Right.
And I fall in that trap so much as a friend, as a parent. Like, you know, I would have been the guy, friend or parent, when he crested the hill, I would have had a bunch of questions like, did you learn your lesson?
Yeah.
How are you going to pay back what Amen. You lost? You know, like all of these things. Yeah. And I think that's how we become an older brother.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, the Father who is Christ, who is God, mm-hmm. it said he was filled with compassion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm usually filled with anger, uh-huh. judgment, uh-huh. the list could go on and on. Right. He was filled with compassion. Mm-hmm. Yeah. His son was home. Like yeah. that is one of the most convicting things to me of yeah. like, mm-hmm. that's not how I would respond.
Yeah. Yeah. The compassion always fascinates me because I know where my compassion comes from. My compassion mm-hmm. comes from, you know, the cross. It comes from the way God has been merciful to me, a sinner, you know, mm-hmm. the undeserved love that I have experienced. Mm-hmm. But I have wondered and wondered and wondered, where does God's compassion come from? Because he didn't blow it. You know, he yeah. wasn't shown grace or whatever. He is absolutely perfect and completely righteous to judge mm-hmm. us,
yep.
to send us to hell forever. Where does his compassion... My compassion comes from the mercy I've been shown.
Yeah.
But he, a God of such compassion, mm-hmm. you know, when he... could so rightly smack us. I don't know. It's a mystery to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, well, listen, this has been a great, great talk. I'm just like looking at the clock and saying, wow, that time flew by because this is...
Hopefully our audience feels that way too.
Yeah, I hope so too. But just an incredible story. Thanks for bringing new perspectives. I know I saw things, you know, there's ways God's working on my heart. Love hearing the ways you guys... or just growing in your journey. We're all yeah. living this experience. Mm-hmm. These aren't academic studies. You know, no. These are life laboratories, yeah. you know, that we're all in. We see it in ourselves. We see it in others. So great to be on the journey with you guys. All right. I just want to mention a couple of things about the next 2 weeks. Okay. So Drew, the podcast will not happen next week. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks. And why is that, Drew? What happens next week?
Yeah, we have our family weekend. So we are going to be inviting a little more of the kids ministry into our audience. And we're going to be experiencing kids ministry and what it's like to be in kids ministry in our auditorium. So we're going to have an amazing family weekend. And what's interesting, even on our family weekend, we have some of our family that's away. Our students, 194 students, are going to be at the Adirondacks, just having a blast and growing in their faith. And so just a lot to be praying about. God's moving in our church, mm-hmm. in our young people. I think it's easy in church to, sorry, I'm starting a whole new podcast, to forget that the auditorium is not just the church. We yeah. have a bunch of little kids mm-hmm. running around that are the church. Yep. Mm-hmm. And it's important for us to realize that as the church. And so how exciting is it that we've got kids growing in their faith, students growing in their faith. It's going to be an amazing weekend.
Right. Well, listen, you don't want to miss that. If at all possible, get yourself to an in-person experience next week to enjoy family weekend. And we'll be back in 2 weeks with more of Storyteller.